It was a little town, and he got her a solitaire. The diamond was good, but the setting was a typical Tiffany setting. Well, when Arden got that, now I say she rushed over. I don't know if she rushed over or not. She probably sat down and cried about 2 hours first, because it wasn't what she wanted. She wanted something all loaded with diamonds on the side as they were having them, you know. And she was just crushed by this ring that he had sent her. Oh, boy. And she came over and showed it to us and said, well, that certainly wasn't what she had in mind. Well, I don't recall how we settled it, except that I think we suggested that she write to Weir and tell him the truth and say, well, the best thing to do is wait until he comes to Minneapolis and they pick it out together, which is that's what she did, and she finally got one that had some diamonds around it.
Was it, you think it was much more expensive?
I don't know if it was any more expensive. I don't know if that was the point at all.
Okay.
No, I don't. I think that Weir just did not know what the young girls had in mind.
It was the design, not the value of it.
Oh, no, no, it wasn't the, no, it was the design.
Oh.
And there it is again. Arden would have to have something that was very highfalutin, you know?
Well, except that if you're saying it wasn't more expensive.
Well, it just had more, snaz to it. I mean, nowadays, the girls are wearing the Tiffany setting, and that's quite the style. But in those days, it was platinum with diamonds on the side.
She was just in with the fad.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I probably would have felt the same way.
Yeah.
I think most.
How did he take it? You know?
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know how he took it. Weir was not one to talk. I don't know whether you know that or not. He was not one. He was not one to give his confidences out. And I mean, I used to have business with him, but and I think if anybody had any closeness to him, really, it would be Florence. Although I thought we had it too. But he just was not one to talk, you know? And as I recall. But of course, I was away for a long time, you know? And then they finally were married, and she had, of course, a great big wedding. She
came back from
where? I beg your pardon?
He came back from where?
Yes, he came back and started working in Minneapolis. And I think, what's the name of the company he was with then? Well, Bondhouse, I think it was. And I don't know how I can, it's a big one, isn't it? I mean, the name is big, I can't remember. It's very well known. And so, they were married, and she had, I think it's 8 bridesmaids, and then she had the Joe's little daughter. Yeah. No, one. I think it's all she had, didn't it?
Two?
No, just a girl. She just said Josephine, too. I mean, what was the other guy named him? Florence, and Florence was in the party. I wasn't. I don't know why, except that she couldn't have, or didn't want both of us, evidently, and Florence was taller, so. I don't know if that's it, but I never entered my head, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Or Florence might was more her age, probably.
It's possible, too. However, I went with her. I mean, I knew her a lot better. And Jip was an usher. And it was a beautiful... His name was Dr. Claude Ehrenberg. And he...
Richard,
it was my boyfriend, and he was a great doctor there. And he was the head of this and the head of that, and he wanted me to marry him. And I had not had my annulment, and I didn't want to marry him outside of the church. And so we went together about 6 years. That's why I really went to USC after that. Well, I'll tell you that later. The party was very, I mean, the wedding was very beautiful. They were married in an Episcopal church. And then they had, this is another thing, after the wedding, no, or must have been the night before when they had the bridal wedding, you know, and that was pretty big and pretty elegant, and that was at one of the clubs, And then we went out to Monkey's house, and in the playroom downstairs, they had two tables set up the length almost of this room with all of the gifts she had. She had enough gifts to start a store. And of course, a lot of them had to be taken back because they were duplicates. But this was the kind of thing that that Ogden was interested in, and her mother too. However, I might say many people were at that time, I would guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is anything you should poke at them and say they were particular, but they liked nice. They wanted to be represented. Okay? So then, after they were married, Florence was married then, about 2 or 3 weeks later. She was married then, down at Pipestone. We didn't go to the wedding. She said she didn't want a big wedding after seeing the one she just gone through with Audrey, and I mean, that was just party, 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 you know, that sort of stuff.
When you say party, is it one big party all
month? All the time. I mean, they had breakfast for her, they had breakfast for her, they had luncheons for her, they had dinners for them, etc. And this went on for several weeks, as it always does before a big wedding. Now then, so Florence didn't want any of that. Of course, mother couldn't afford to give it to her anyway. So she was married in Pipestone and married to Tom Briggs. In the meantime, mother and I moved over to a flat on Harriet Street. And grandmother lived with us, as I recall. Yeah, I think so. And so Ogden and Weir had the house. And Ogden did it up, and it just was darling. She really had a lot of taste. It was very fluffy, because she was fluffy type, you know? But it was very, very pretty, and she had in that back place there curtains like this that were organdy, lavender organdy, you know, and that sort of stuff. And she had very, very good taste. And she was a beautiful cook, and she could do anything, and her manners were impeccable, and she certainly served a beautiful table. And when anybody came in, she was just like a princess. And that's why I say to you, I don't understand your children. I just absolutely cannot. When I realized what the background that you came from and how beautiful it was and aesthetic and lovely, lovely. And she had very nice friends. Now then.
What are you saying?
What I told you and Warner.
What do you mean you don't understand?
I don't understand how you're not the only ones, you two, you and your son and Jean have no interest in the manners, shall I say, the aesthetics of that your mother had. I mean, like,
okay.
All right, that's what I mean. And I really don't understand. However, who am I to judge? So then, but I do, always. So then, they were.
You sit it on the right hand.
What?
You sit it on the right hand.
That's right. Of course. We moved down to on Harriet Street, and Florence and Tommy. Well, anyway, eventually we lived together, Florence and Tommy, and mother and I, and Ogden had the house. All right, so then Florence had Connie, and Ogden had Jean, and they were about 6 months apart. And I'm sure Jean was a beautiful baby. And she was so darling. And of course, Connie was too. And one day they wanted me, when I say they, Ogden wanted me to come over and take care of the two of them. Well, I had a friend who came out to call me, a man I'd known for years and years and years. And the two of them squawked all of the time. I couldn't get either one of them to keep still. Now, they just cried. I could have hit them both over the head. But they were so cute. Well, anyway, that's the story of your mother and father. And then, I've forgotten how long they lived there. And then, this was during the Depression.
Well, do you remember the date they were, the year they were married?
No. I have it written down someplace, but no, I don't know. I'm sure I have.
Well, let's see, how long after they were married was Jean born?
Oh, I imagine about 9 months, maybe a year. I imagine.
Jean was 60. I was born in 1930. Jean was born in, therefore, 1924.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they're going to get married in 1922.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, don't you have that in that? Yes, you must.
I have a
I thought that was all.
Oh, yeah, I may have.
You have a copy. I'm sure you it would be in there. Yes. Well, maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. So, this is during the Depression, and why did he have to go to Sioux City? Well, I'm just trying. In the meantime, I'm out in California.
Yeah.
See, I went to California after I broke up with Jip. And that just nearly killed me. Oh. And so then I went to USC to get my library degree.
How soon after the wedding? Their wedding?
Oh, it must have been a year or so because...
Were you there with the girl when Jean was born?
Yeah. I mean, because I saw Jean, you know.
Oh, you didn't see Bill, though.
What?
You didn't see Bill there
on morning? No. No, I think was he born in Sioux City?
Yes.
Oh, no, I didn't see Bill. I didn't see any, nor you. So Mother and I went to California and I went to USC.
Ganger came out to California?
Yeah, she said that if I wanted to take this library course. See, I was in the library in Minneapolis, children's department, and I couldn't get any more money unless I had my degree. I had my degree from Minnesota, regular one, but I had to get a library degree. So that Mother said if I'd go to California, she'd come with me. I wanted to go to Pratt, New York, because that was one of the finest schools, too. But now, UC is excellent, UC. And so she went out with me, and I was there and was graduated. And then Mother went back home, and Mary Louise came out, and I was invited stay out here and be the librarian with another girl at the Bank of Italy. So that's how I stayed down in Los Angeles for so long. And then the Depression came and they decided they were going to relegate the library, and they had one up here. This is the main branch. And they told me they were going to give me a job in the bank. Was compensation. But since I can't add two and two without my fingers, well, I didn't see any sense of restarting that out. So I came, you haven't met them, but I have a friend, Ruth Drummond, she's the one I have traveled with a lot, and she and her parents were coming up to San Francisco to take the ship down to Panama for some reason. They said, Bea, why don't you come up and see your aunt here? So, what? Stella. Yeah, it's okay. I'm getting off of your mother. Well, I better finish this part first. And so this is what I did, and then from here I went to several libraries, et cetera, et cetera. Now then, to get back to your mother. So all I remember is when they went down to Sioux City, and I went back once, not to visit. I had to have an operation. I had a hysterectomy. So I went back to Sioux City, and I saw them then, and Weir and Audrey.
Did they seem happy?
What?
Did they seem happy?
As far as I know, yes. And then the next time I saw them, that was when I started working for Pepsi-Cola, remember?
There?
No, here. I had...
that was not until 40.
Well, I'm just telling you all that. Time in the meantime, I didn't see them at all because we weren't traveling back and forth. I mean, it's kind of costly. So I was heavens, I did so many things up here.
After you left South Florida, Sioux City, Minneapolis, you came out here.
Yes.
How long was it before you went back?
You mean to visit?
Or what year did you go back?
I went back. I think I was what. I had that operation when I was 30 years old, 29 or 30. I don't remember. Well, I was here 3 or 4 years anyway.
When were you born?
When was I born?
Yeah.
1897.
Then it would be
27. Yeah. Okay. Then, I'm willing to give you all information about ages, but I just don't happen to remember.
No, I just want to figure out what I'm
thinking. Yes, I see.
So you went back to Minneapolis, what?
I didn't go to Minneapolis. I went back to Sioux City for an operation.
Oh, so you didn't go to Minneapolis then?
No, I didn't go to Minneapolis then.
Oh, I see.
Until, excuse me, yes, I did too. So after Mother came down for the operation, and Ross was there, you see.
I thought you said Mother came right here.
I'm talking about my mother. My mother came out here, yes, and she stayed here a year with me, and then she went back to Minneapolis and lived with Florence. At 4045 Bryant Avenue, which they took over after your mother and father went to live in Sioux City. Okay?
Do you know why they went to Sioux City?
Who?
Me and Dad.
Yes, because there was a job there that he wanted with some banking house, I think it was.
Oh, I see.
I believe that was it.
Well, now that would be after Bill was born, which would be in 1926.
Yes. Well, now I can talk about your mother from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Only. In Sioux City, she was not a junior league. And she didn't make it for some reason or other.
She wanted to be?
Oh, sure. And Mary Louise was, and so forth. But I don't think your mother ever made it. Or maybe she did. Maybe they got her in. When I say got her in, she was not particularly popular at first. Because there was reasons, and I'm telling you, I think people thought she was pretty superficial. And I think she is. But she's lovable. She had so many wonderful qualities. And it isn't anything to say against her, except that I don't think she was... I think her interests were, again, very light and airy. And I don't know how they did down there, except that I... Weir was always very popular, and Weir and Ross were very, very close too, and they used to play bridge a lot, and I'm sure Ogden got in with the girls and played because Mary Louise liked her. A lot of the girls liked her. I'm not saying they didn't like her. I'm just saying that they thought, from what I was told, that they just thought she was kind of flighty and not too much to her.
So you went back to San.
So, all right, I went, now just a minute. No, I didn't, just a minute. After I was working at the bank in Los Angeles, this was after I was graduated from USC, I worked there, and I think I was there 2 years when I realized I had to have an operation. So, Ross said to me, why didn't you come to Sioux City, and we will see. I went back to Sioux City. This is the first time I saw any of them after I had come out here, right?
1927.
I guess so.
So Bill was born.
I guess maybe he was, but I have very little record. Yeah, yes, I sort of remember him, sort of.
Well, now where were they? Were living in your father's house?
Oh Lord, no! And I don't know where they were living. I'm the smartest. Isn't that funny? It's just a blur. I have no idea where they lived. I know I didn't stay with him or anything. I stayed with Russ. And actually, I was in the hospital most of the time. And then, after the hospital, as I told you, Mother came down from Minneapolis to be with me. I stayed at Aunt Florence Mulhall's. This is Mary Louise's Mulhall. Now, that was on Grand Avenue, wherever it is. You can ask me a question.
Grandfather, Ganga, Roscoe, you... And Mother and Dad were all in Sioux City at the same time.
Yes.
And they were all living in different places?
Yes.
Was Dad and Grandfather still had the Jackson Street house?
Yes.
But he was there all by himself?
Well, those two should be... No, he had his wife with him.
His new wife?
Yes,
his
new...
Is that the nurse?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he married the nurse.
Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh. As far as I know, that's who he had.
He had no more children, right?
Oh, Lord, no, she was too old. But no, he didn't anymore. Well, and... He stopped in to see me in the hospital, just poked his nose in. Dad did.
That's all?
Uh-huh. That's all. But I think he was checking on how the doctor did when he operated.
Was he compassionate?
Well, not... You see, I hadn't seen him for so long. No, Maybe, I think he could have been. I think he could have been in tears if we had sat down to talk, but I was awfully sick. And I don't remember other than sticking his face in the door. That's all I remember. I don't think he ever came in to visit or to see me.
You think that your children, that you had been sort of alienated from them earlier, were you still harboring bad feelings about them?
Well, I presume so, but I don't recall. I'm not one to harbor bad feelings, so of course, I did have this. I told you this about my father because I thought he did my mother wrong. But I didn't dwell on it. I mean, like Florence did. Florence really dwelled on it, I think. But I didn't at all. I had other interests. Well, so mother came down, and I went out to Aunt Florence's, and that's where I stayed for a few days until I was well enough to go back to Minneapolis with mother and to be healed, as it were. You know, have another few days before I came back to California. And then I came back to California and in the bank again. All right, now we're going to get back to your...
Where would you stay in Minneapolis if you just come back for a few days?
Florence had 4045. That's what I say. 4045 is Grand Central Station. Well, everybody stayed there.
After Dad and
Mom. After Dad, yes. So that was their place. They bought it.
All right, cool.
Very well. So that's where I stayed until I came back here again. Now then, that's the last I remember of Ogden and Weir. I don't know. Of course, I didn't see them very much when I was there because I was sick. So then the next time I saw them was in their place in Bethlehem. And as I told you, I better bring this up to date. After the Depression and after I came up here, I was with Stella for a few weeks, and then I took a room out near the University of California Hospital because I got a job in the library out there, the medical library. And I was there for a while, and then there was a doctor that wanted someone to do his research reading and abstracting in medicine who lived in Berkeley. And I was asked if I would take the job. So I took the job. And I went over there, and I was there for about a year. But it so seems that the doctor liked me more than he should. And he was such a gentle, dear guy. Oh, gosh, I had so much trouble, Warner. And Ross always said, well, it was your fault. I said, it was not my fault. I didn't do anything. Anyway, I had other interests. Oh, heck. Well,
let me ask you, did you not ever want to get married again?
Yes, I did. Of course I did. There were several of them. One of them was down in Los Angeles, Jerry Clemens. I was just mad about him, and I wanted to marry him. He wanted to marry me. We went together about 3 years. Chip and I went together at least six.
Why didn't you ever get married?
I told you why I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I said I didn't get married because I had not had my marriage annulled, and Catholicism meant more to me than to marry somebody, and then...
I thought you got it annulled right, almost 2 weeks after that.
No, it took me 11 years to have it annulled.
11 years.
I was divorced, and that didn't take very long, but the annulment took 11 years.
Well, the annulment comes from the church.
Yes, that's right. And that was my business. I did this on my own. Nobody urged me to. My mother did not urge me to.
Well, did you think that... How long did you think you could wait before? I mean, the church was taking that long for a reason?
Well, in those days, I don't think very many people, they just concluded that if you were married, you're married. You stuck with it. And,
so the church was just taking a long time?
Well, I didn't know the right person to go to. And this is interesting, I think. As I said, I don't think there were very many people in the church who were looking for annulments. I guess they thought that just as the church has always sort of said, if you're married, you're married, and let it go with that, regardless, and suffer through it or whatever.
But
well,
if you got a divorce, there's no way you're going to be married.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about marrying again. So Judge Wade from Iowa City, Iowa, daughter went to the library school with me in Southern California, and mother talked with him about it, and he wrote up this whole thing. He thought he knew exactly how to proceed. Well, it's a long story because I had several things that happened, and in the meantime, my husband lived in Los Angeles, and he came out to see me. And oh gosh, I had so many things in my life, but I can't. I'll never get your mother's down if I started in mine, so I don't want it. So the thing is, I went to several priests, and they said they'd find out about it. But actually, there are only there are three ecclesiastical courts. One is in St. Paul, Minnesota. The other one is in New York City, and the third one is in the Vatican. So those are the only places you could get it anyway, and somebody who was finally smart enough. So when I was in Minneapolis, after my operation, because I'd heard about this from a friend in Sioux City. So I went over at St. Paul, they have a university, school, very fine school. It's called St. Paul, I think. No, it's in St. Paul. St. Thomas. St. Thomas County, very fine. And that's where they have this court. And I talked to the padre, and I never was so relieved in all my life. He's a great big guy. And he said, "Miss Jepson, if you are not married, I mean, if what you have to say is true," or words to that effect, "you're not married, and we don't want you to be any more than you'd want to be otherwise." So by the time all these letters were presented that Judge Wade had done to the court, and they have an advocate, they have 13. I wasn't there, of course. This was all done. And I got my annulment in 2 weeks after that was presented. That's maybe where you got the 2 weeks. And in the meantime, Jerry Clemens, the guy that I was so madly in love with, got married to his old girlfriend.
Was that the last of your proposals?
No, but I can't go on because I want to talk about your mother. If you want to talk about me, I'll go to that another time and on another seance. You want to just about be herself. But this is that. So I did go to Minneapolis. That was when I was in Minneapolis, and I got that. Now then, to get back to your family. So then after I finally worked in the cancer research at UC, and when I say I worked, I did reading and abstracting for several of the doctors, and I had to go and see the patients to get their background, and of course it's always the patients, you know, that don't have any money, because if they had the money, they wouldn't want to get it. Oh, when I think about some of the things that are so sad, it's just like having black versus white. Finally, and I just got to the point where I was just saturated in carcinoma. So I found there was an ad for a library in the State Chamber of Commerce. And I went down there and I got the job right away.
Where?
State Chamber of Commerce here in Minneapolis, in San Francisco, on Pine Street. And I was there for several years when now comes the war. And the Pepsi-Cola Center in New York in Times Square had already been established. And then they had one that they were establishing in Washington, D.C., and they were going to have one here, which was Market and Mason. It was the old day and night building. It was five stories. And they were sending over some volunteers, people who were interested in this, to me at the library to find out about how you make up a information desk and all this other stuff. And I said, "What in the name of heavens are you people doing?" And then they told me about what it was. So they invited me to come to see them. And Mrs. Mack, it was Walter Mack that started the Pepsi-Cola Center. And he, as a young man, was in the service. And he said if he if there was ever another war, he certainly was going to have a place where the young boys could get washed and have Pepsi-Cola free or a sandwich or whatever. This is how that started.
Maybe went over there.
So this is when I get visiting your family, is what I'm coming to. And so it was then that Weir came to New York to meet me and take me down to your home in in Bethlehem.
Were you going back east on business or just?
On business, yeah. I was going back because they wanted to meet me and wanted me to see what they had and what they were doing. So.
What year was that? 40, 41, 42?
Must have been about 40, 41.
Well, it had to be after 40. Might be about 42 because we moved into that house in 40.
Must have been 41 or so.
Yeah.
All right, very well. So I did, and as I say, my first recollection is coming up to this lovely home with this big yard, and there were you outside, and there was your father yelling at you for not having done something, and I didn't like one part of it.
Was he seeming, did he seem unusual, or not like you remembered it? Was he?
Oh, no, this is our father's son. I mean, look, I mean, just like any father with a son, don't do that, you know, that sort of thing. Child, he didn't intend to be unkind. It's just he would have done it if I hadn't been there. And the point was that I was there, it didn't matter. But I didn't like it because I think anybody is very crushed when there's criticism in front of another person. I don't care what age. I think it's very bad. Very bad. Psychology. Back where it was, about like that.
Aim the microphone to you. There, that's
good. Very well.
So I remember that I was on the porch and it was.
No, you weren't on the porch. You were out in the yard.
Well, I think at some point on the porch.
Well, you may have gone back. You may have run up to the porch,
yeah.
Probably as a protection.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I know I was just heartsick about. And then we went in. It was very casual. And I'm the only one who probably know. You and I were the only one who knew. I know Weir never thought anything about it at all. Never entered his head that he was doing anything different. He was just a child that he wanted to.
Did you say something to him about it?
Not then. Uh-uh. Oh, no, not then. Uh-uh. No, I did when I happened to be alone with him when we were going up to back to New York. And I did mention it and said I was so surprised that he would not think in terms of. Oh, I don't remember what I said, but I'm. Probably something like that he wouldn't think in terms of you, because here you hadn't seen me in a long while, and then to be criticized in front of me before he'd even had a chance to say hello, I thought was not.
You know what he said to me?
No, and I don't think it was anything at all other than he's, I think he was a little, he must have asked you to do something like this and you were going to be playing the music, was that it?
I am fulfilled it.
But there was something that you hadn't done,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's generally what it was.
What?
That's generally what it was.
Yes, I think that was it. You hadn't done something that you said you would do. Instead of that, you were probably playing music.
Yeah.
And I think this is one, and I don't know anything about this. You tell me, did your mother encourage you a lot to play the piano?
No.
She didn't?
No.
You mean you did this on your own?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I always had the idea that she was the one who was encouraging you, and I don't think we're like that. Because we're always, you know, he was the masculine macho. You should have been Ross's sons, as I've told you before, and he should have had the other ones. Because, don't you think? Well, Ross was so interested in music and all the cultural...
Well, the thing about Dad never criticized or put me down for playing the music. He never was negative toward my music playing.
Oh?
He was negative. I think he was jealous of my relationship with Mother. And that sometimes there'd be a little triangle and I would favor, whenever they had an argument, I would favor her.
Mm.
And once, he did something sort of nasty to Mother when I was even younger, about 7 or 8,
mm-hmm.
at the other house in the bedroom. They were dressing, I guess, and Mucky was there. And
she was in the bedroom with you while they were dressing.
It was early in the morning, I guess, or something. Mucky had been visiting for 3 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I think something to the effect that Mother was upset by what Dad had did, whether it was a teasing or whether it was an argument, I don't know what it was. Well, I think it was sort of serious, it seemed. Anyway, she was upset, I felt. So I went to her. And that made Dad mad. And he told me to get out, or told me to, he was, it made him angry. And then I got hurt. And Maki said to me, you're going to be hurt a great deal in your life. Meaning that I was so sympathetic. And I remember lots of times, or not constantly, but frequently, where they would have an argument, and I would favor Mother vocally, and it would hurt him and anger him. And he would, some once he almost hit me because he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did you feel toward your father? Did you care about him?
Oh, I was angry at Dad a lot when I was a child because he was so angry at me all the time.
Why was he angry at you?
Well, just as I tell you, just, I think he was jealous. But she didn't.
But your mother could have done something about this.
Oh, I'm sure she could have.
But she probably liked it that way. Ah! No, I'm just thinking of it psychologically now. I mean, she could have liked it that way very, very much because I don't think she ever thought she was important enough in their relationship. And this is another thing I noticed. When we had dinner there that night, the only night I had dinner with you at your home, and I recall that we were having a discussion about something, and this is typical. Oh, you just... Thank you, Warner. And your mother did or didn't say something, but I guess it didn't apply too much to what the conversation was, and it may have been about the world at large or the war, or I don't recall what it is. Now, this is the very thing I'm telling you about the Jepsons that is so bad. Ross did the same thing, and I think I've been guilty of it, and Weir did. And it's this idea, what? You don't know? And I have, as I've told you, I certainly have recognized it, and I've done my best ever since I was aware of it to try to say, or try to not do that.
Gene has that a lot, too. He must have got it from Dad, I'm sure.
Well, yes, and Dad got it, I mean, your father got it from my father, because he was that way. Boy, it really came down, and Ross, that's why I'm going to give that picture to Bill, I told you. It just looks like Ross saying, what? You don't know that? And I can still see, he just crucified Ruth, you know. And in fact, I think that he had a lot to do with Ruth's condition. You can't handle things like that for a long time, Warren. The person is sensitive. And I said, well, maybe she can't do that. She doesn't know that. She's not out in the world like we are. But I said, she can certainly make a damn good cake or whatever, you know. And I felt the same way about Arkin. She was not out in the business world. She did not know those things. She wasn't interested in knowing them. And if we're, and we may not have tried to inform her in a way in which she could have had an interest. And I would chastise her for that very, very much.
How did Dad accept it when you did chastise him?
Well, I think he was all right. I think he did all right. I mean, I think he felt just like I'm saying. He could see that we all have this quality.
When you talked, when you mentioned him after that episode with me,
yes.
What did he say?
Well, I don't recall what he said. But I he certainly wasn't irate at me. I think he felt that I had a point. I do, and I think we all, and I've said this, and I've tried to say it to Florence, but Florence is not one who, I mean, she was not one who, I believe, was willing to see her own faults. And I think that we're, and I think Ross was, and I think I don't know how you feel about me, but I feel I try to see my faults and when other people may have bring them out, so that I don't want to be that way. I don't want her to think I'm important. It isn't what we say, Warner, it's how we say it. And that's bad. That's our attitude, and it's just terrible. And then I keep saying this to John, who, he's not that way, but we each have characteristics. And we certainly inherited that one from our father, because my mother was not that way. But the one thing that my mother told me, and I think this was a very good thing to do, never, never get into an argument when you're angry. keep still. Let the other person do the talking, because that's going to just squash them. She never said that. But I mean, it's detrimental to the other person if you keep still. But if you talk in an argument and say things that can be brought back, then the two of you are just fighting. It's a fight. It's much better to keep still and just listen. If you can do it, and it's kind of hard to do. But you have to learn these things if you want to good public relations, in my opinion.
In view of the fact that Dad did do that, those things, did Dad ever talk to you about us kids?
No, not that I recall. I didn't. You see, here's the thing, Warner. I had very little time to talk with him because when I was there, then the one night, I think, in Bethlehem, Aunt Anna was there, too. She was there. And then the next day...
You were both in California?
Yes, yes. And then the next day, she... Arden went into town with us because we went to dinner in New York City. And I don't recall where we went to dinner. Isn't that strange? I remember we had a very nice evening.
You mean you three ladies?
No, Aunt Anna didn't do it. No, Weir and Arden and I were together.
Into New York.
Yes, and I don't remember whether we went to a play. Isn't it strange? None of that just means anything. So there I saw him. And then the only time I really did was on the train when he picked me up to go back to Bethlehem and back. So I saw very little of them.
Did you go back into New York City? Did you all go by the train?
Yes. I had lunch with him one day. He was cross at me because, dinner I guess it was. He stayed in to have dinner with me, bless his baby heart. And John Slacks, and I have to tell you about this because this goes back to care. It was that. John Slacks got Weir his job in Washington, D.C. with the, what was he with? Oh, gosh. Very important during the war.
Didn't know Dad in Washington.
Yes, he was there, sure. Arden was at home. But he worked for the, what was the name of it? And John Slacks knew Weir in the Army. He was from a little town in Iowa, and he also was on the border with Weir and Father. Did you know that they were on the Mexican border during the war?
What, World War
II? No, the Mexican War.
What for?
What for? To fight, I guess. Well, Father was down there, and Weir, and they met John Slacks there.
What year was that?
Oh, I don't know. When was that? 1912? 10? I don't know. We'd have to go way back. So, John's... What's the name?
Oh, that's... How do you spell Slacks?
What?
How do you spell Slacks?
S-L-A-C-K-S. John Slacks. So, John Slacks got Weir in... Because Weir was having a tough time then. In this job. In Washington, D.C.
Was having a tough time where?
Yeah, well, he was trying to get a job, I guess, because he had been in Sioux City and that didn't work
out.
You're
not talking about, which war are you talking about?
The last World War.
The Second World War?
Yes.
Well, he was president of Bethlehem National Bank. Why do you say he was having a tough time?
This was before that. This is during the Depression.
Well, except that he wasn't in Bethlehem. He was sent to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania in 1933 to take care of the Bethlehem.
That's right, and it was right out of this place from Washington, D.C. I'm telling you about that he had, that's why he got the job.
Oh, well, you see, so it's not during the war that it was during the Depression.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
He went to Washington.
That's right, yeah, that's right, during the Depression.
He went from taking the hotel in New York City and having the dinner sunny with, after visiting me in the 40s, suddenly you're down and now with John Slacks in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So I got lost tonight.
Did you ever meet John Slacks?
No.
No. Okay, so this is, So this was John Slacks who got in this job, and then it was from there that he got the job in Bethlehem Bank.
Oh,
that's it. And John Slacks happened to like me. Another one. Oh, gosh. So he was married, but he led me to believe that they, all the stuff they all do. Not that I cared, because I wasn't enamored with him by any means, but he certainly pursued me. And he also, interestingly enough, Kennedy's father's, the senior Kennedy's advisor on a lot of money matters. Well, they're very close. Well, and so Slax really was very fond of me. Oh boy, he was just.
Now, when was this?
Well, this was right after when your father hadn't been in. I don't know.
Well, see, now I was.
Oh, all right, now just a minute. Hold everything.
I was born in Sioux City in 1930.
Yeah.
And we drove from there to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
So how did he get to Washington?
Where? Well, he was working in Washington for several months, or maybe a year, I don't know.
Before I was born?
Probably, then.
Oh, I see.
And so...
He left everybody at home in Sioux City.
That's right. He left them all at home in Sioux City. And this is when Weir and Arden had a problem, too, I think. I think there were quite a few little difficult times, and there should have been, too. I mean, it would be difficult. But I don't remember what they were born, and I have no right to even open my mouth because I don't know. But I just seem to have heard that they.
Yeah, well, I think we got that impression.
Yeah, but why not? You would have a tough time. It was tough on Weir too to be alone in Washington. I can't remember the name of this place. I think. Well, now I'm just trying to see how I happened to meet John Slax. Weir had told. Oh, I know. All right, here I am again, PepsiCo. I was going to go down to Washington, and John was down in Washington, and Weir told me that he was there. He said, I'd like to have you meet him, because he's a very good friend of mine. He's the one that got me my job. He knows Father, and he knew, and so forth, and so forth. And I said, all right. So I called John, and he asked me out to dinner.
And this is back in 1942, we're talking about.
It must have been. It'd have to be.
World War II, okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. And so he said, how I know you? And I said, well, I know. I said, you. Well, be that as it may, I met him. Well, this is what I say.
This was the first time you met him.
First time I had met him. And he was a very interesting guy. And of